श्रीमद् भगवद गीता साधक संजीवनी चैप्टर 7 वर्स 30 साधि भूतादि दैवं माम साधि यज्ञं च ये विदु प्रयाण काले पिच माम ते विदुर्युक्त Those who realize me in the Adhibhuta, the field of matter, in the Adhideva, Brahma, and in Adhiyagna, the unmanifest divinity, and having a steadfast mind, realize me even at the hour of death. Sadhi Bhutadhi Devam Mam Sadhi Yagyan Cha Ye Vidu. Having described attributeless and formless God in the preceding verse, he describes God who is endowed with attributes and form in this verse. Here, Adhibhuta stands for matter which has predominance of tamas, the mode of ignorance. This matter has no independent existence of its own. It is transitory and kaleidoscopic. But it seems real, pleasant, and attractive because of God, who is real, pleasant, and attractive. As ice has no existence without water, matter is nothing but manifestation of God. This is knowledge about God and matter. Adhidaiva is Brahma, the creator of the world. He has predominance of Rajoguna, the mode of passion. The Lord manifests Himself as Brahma also. This is true knowledge about Adhidaiva and God. Adhiyagna is Lord Vishnu, who pervades everywhere in the form of unmanifest divinity. In Him, there is predominance of the mode of goodness. This is true knowledge about Adhiyagna and God. Knowledge about God with Adhibhuta, Adhidaiva and Adhiyagna is that he stands holding the entire creation in one limb. Gita, chapter 10, verse 42 and chapter 11, verse 7. And in his supreme divine form, there are Adhibhuta, infinite universes, Adhidaiva, Brahma and Adhiyagna, Vishnu, etc. Arjuna also says, O Lord, I behold in your body all the gods and multitudes of different beings. Brahma the Lord perched on a lotus, Lord Shiva and all the sages and celestial serpents. Gita, chapter 11, verse 15. Thus in reality, Lord Krishna is Adhibhuta, Adhidaiva and Adhiyagna. Prayana kale picha mam te vidur yukta chetasah. Steadfast in mind are those who remain equanimous in gain and loss, in prosperity and pleasures, and in becoming indifferent to the world, and are engrossed in worship of God. Such people realize Him at the time of death, that is, remain established in Him. Even in the pangs of death, they do not lose heart in the least, in spite of great turmoil in their physical and subtle bodies. An exceptional fact about God's entire form. 1. All evils are born by accepting our affinity for matter and its evolutes, actions and things, etc. And then those actions and things seem to have their independent existence. But if we, by breaking up our affinity for them, get established in God, their assumed independent existence merges into God. In the world, we assume a thing or a person as good or bad, but actually, that thing or person is nothing besides the manifestation of God. As far as decorum of caste and ashram, religious orders of different periods of life is concerned, We have to observe these in accordance with the ordinance of the scriptures and great souls, because these are the guides for attaining salvation. There was existence of God before this creation, and He will exist after its dissolution. When a striver realizes this reality about God, the universe merges into Him. It does not mean that the creation perishes, but it means that the striver does not attach importance to the world, which is an obstacle to salvation. And in ornaments made of gold, there is nothing besides gold. A striver of steadfast mind realizes that in the world there is nothing besides God. This fact has been explained in the 29th and 30th verse. 2. For worship of God, He has described two ways, one with attributes and the second attributeless. The Lord endowed with attributes is of two types, one endowed with attributes with form, and the other endowed with attributes but formless. The attributeless Lord is not of two types. He is only without attributes and formless. The formless Lord is again of two kinds, one endowed with attributes but formless, and the other attributeless and formless. Devotees are of two types, one who worship God with attributes, and the other who worship God without attributes. But both of them start their worship of the Lord, who is endowed with attributes, but is formless. He assumes that there is God who is the Supreme Lord, and He is most merciful and the best one. Thus, though a devotee thinks of God, who is attributeless and formless, yet with his intellect, he thinks of God who is endowed with attributes and is formless. The reason is that intellect, being the evolute of Prakriti with attributes, cannot have access to attributeless God. Worshippers first worship God who is endowed with attributes and form. But so long as His form is not fixed in their minds, they assume God exists and He is ours. The firmer His form gets fixed, the higher their adoration. In the end, when they are able to behold Him, talk to Him, touch Him, and receive blessings from Him, their worship attains perfection. Worshippers of attributeless God think of Him as one who pervades everywhere. The subtler their disposition grows, the higher their worship is. In the end, when their attachment and egoism, etc., are completely renounced, and no feeling of I-ness or you-ness is left, and only pure consciousness remains, their worship attains perfection. Thus, both the devotees, after attaining perfection, become one. That is, both of them attain the same Lord. The worshippers of the Lord endowed with attributes and form, by His grace also realize the Lord who is without attributes and form. If a striver, adoring attributeless and formless God, has some devotional influence and wants to behold Him, he can do so. If the Lord wants to make him an instrument for His mission, He reveals Himself to him as He revealed Himself to Madhusudanacharya. 3. The Lord is endowed with attributes, and He is also attributeless, according to the feelings of the devotees. Similarly, He is endowed with form and is also formless. Not only this, He is also beyond the two. But this reality is known only when a devotee realizes Him. The Lord who pervades everywhere, with His divine traits such as beauty, love, glory, grace, etc., is called God endowed with attributes. He is of two kinds. A. Endowed with attributes and formless, just like the sky of which attribute is sound but is formless. The Lord pervading the entire universe is endowed with attributes and is formless. B. endowed with attributes and form. When the Lord, who is with attributes and is formless, manifests himself through his own divine potency, keeping his nature, prakriti, under his control, and is perceived by the senses, is called the Lord endowed with attributes and form. When a striver assumes that God does not possess divine traits, he is called the Lord without attributes and form. Attributes are also of two kinds. One, uncommon divine traits such as beauty, love, glory, and grace. Two, three modes of nature: sattva, mode of goodness, rajas, mode of passion, and tamas, mode of ignorance. God may either be endowed with attributes and be formless, or he may be endowed with attributes and form. He is beyond the three modes of nature. He, by controlling his nature, plays the role of the Lord of creation, preservation, and destruction of the universe, and yet remains totally free from the modes of nature. Gita chapter 7 verse 13. The Lord, who is never bound by attributes and has full command over them, is called the Lord without attributes. Therefore, such a Lord can be called endowed with attributes as well as attributeless, or also endowed with form and also formless. He has been described in his entire form in the 29th and the 30th verses. A special note on the chapter. In this chapter, Lord Krishna first explained his changeable, lower, insentient nature by apara, and unchangeable, higher, sentient nature by para. Gita chapter 7 verse 4 and 5. Then he explained that he is the origin and end of the whole universe. But in the beginning and in the end, only he exists. Gita chapter 7 verse 6 and 7. Then he explained his comprehensiveness by mentioning his 17 divine manifestations in the form of cause, verses 8 through 12. Afterwards, he explained that he who is under delusion of the three modes of nature, who has accepted his affinity for the changing matter, cannot know him who is beyond the modes of nature, verse 13. In the 14th verse, he explained that his wonderful illusion is extremely difficult to surmount. In the 15th verse, he explains that evildoers do not seek refuge in him. In the 17th verse, he explained four types of virtuous men who worship him or take refuge in him. Now a question arises. Why Lord Krishna has inserted the 15th verse, which seems to be out of context? The answer is that had he not included the 15th verse, it would have remained to be said, evildoers do not seek refuge in me. There are two types of people who take refuge in him. First, those who, regarding him as God, take refuge in him. Gita, chapter 7, verses 16 through 19. And the second, those who regard him as a common man, worship, take refuge in other gods in order to satisfy their desires. Gita, chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. People worship the gods, devtas, for two reasons: for their increased desires and their failure to realize the greatness of God. Both of these have been explained respectively in Gita, chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, and chapter 7, verse 24. In the 25th verse, he has explained that he is not manifest to those who regard him as an ordinary person. The 25th verse seems to express that he is also veiled by divine potency. So he has declared in the 26th verse that his knowledge is not veiled. People do not know him because of their attachment and aversion. Gita chapter 7 verse 27. But those who are freed from delusion in the shape of pairs of opposites, worship him with a firm resolve. Gita chapter 7 verse 28. Those who taking refuge in him, strive to know him in his entire form, at last attain him. Gita chapter 7 verses 29 and 30. If we delve deep into this chapter, we come to know that there is description of inclination and disinclination for God. Those who have disinclination for God and inclination for matter follow the cycle of birth and death. But if they have an inclination for God, they know the Lord who is endowed with attributes and is formless, who is attributeless and formless, and also who is endowed with attributes in entirety, and attain him. Appendix. At the beginning of this chapter, Lord Krishna said to Arjun, I shall unfold to you this jnana with vijnana, by which you will know me fully, having known which nothing will remain to be known. Then the Lord in the 19th verse, having said, Vasudeva Sarvam, described his full form in brief. Now at the end of the chapter, the Lord gives the details of his full form. A striver has taken birth and a disease is not inevitable. Therefore, here the expression chara marana mokshaya means that the devotees who take refuge in God are delivered from old age and death. That is, they are not sad by thinking of their old age, and they are not sad by thinking of the end they will meet after death. They, having taken shelter in God, strive therefore. They know God in full with para prakriti and apara prakriti. That is, know jnana with vijnana. Though a karma yogi and a jnana yogi are also liberated from birth and death, but a devotee, besides being liberated from birth and death, knows God in his entire form. The reason is that a karma yogi and a jnana yogi attain equanimity by practicing the discipline of action and the discipline of knowledge respectively from the beginning. But a devotee depends on God from the beginning. As he depends on God, the Lord, by showering his grace, enables him to know him in full. In the third verse of this chapter, the Lord declared, One who knows me fully is rare. Kaschin mam veti tatvatah. Here he explains, He who takes refuge in me knows me in my entire form. Therefore, the main spiritual practice to know God in full, jnana with vijnana, is surrender in God, mam ashritya. The reason is that God in full is not known by reflection, but he is known by his grace. When a devotee with faith and belief takes shelter in him, therefore, the Lord at the beginning used the term madashrayaha, and in the end concludes this chapter by using the word mam ashritya. Brahma, attributeless, formless. Kritsna, adhyatma, endless souls of endless births. And akhila karma, all the actions of origin, mid-state and end, etc. This is the sphere of knowledge. In this sphere, there is predominance of nirguna, attributeless, Brahma. Adibhuta, the entire universe consisting of the five subtle elements including the body. Adidaiva, all the deities such as Brahma, etc. with the presiding deities of mind, senses, and Adiyagya, eminent Lord Vishnu and all his forms. This is the sphere of Vijnana. In this division, there is predominance of Saguna, endowed with attributes, God. Adibhuta, Adidaiva and Adiyagya means that the Sat, Asat, Para, Apara, all is God. There is nothing else besides God. If the real and the unreal are distinguished, It is the path of knowledge. Na sato vidyate bhavo. Na bhavo vidyate sataha. Gita chapter 2 verse 16. And if they are unified, it is the path of devotion. Sada satchaham Arjuna. Gita chapter 9 verse 19. There is a description of Brahma from the 13th verse to the 26th verse of the 5th chapter. Krishna Adhyatma has been mentioned in the 29th verse of the 6th chapter by the expression Sarva Bhutatma Natmanam. Akhila Karma has been described in the 18th, 23rd and the 33rd verse of the 4th chapter by the expression Krishna Karmarat. Karma Samagram and Sarvam Karma Khilam respectively. An action ends, but the Self and Brahma are never non-existent. In jurisprudence, it is mentioned that the sense which perceives the existence of a thing, the same sense perceives the non-existence and also the class of that thing. Therefore, the knowledge which enables a man to know actions, with the same knowledge he knows the nothingness of actions. That is inaction. Karmanya karma ya pashyet. Gita chapter 4 verse 18. Brahma the absolute, Atma the soul, and akarma, inaction. The three are only one. This knowledge is the meaning of the expression. Te brahma tadvidhi krishna madhyatmam karma chakilam. An action is limited. Adhyatma, self, is more extensive than action. Brahma is more extensive than Adhyatma. But Mam, God in full, is superior even to Brahma, because within Brahma, the entire form of God is not included. But within the entire form of God, Brahma is included. The purpose of using the term Krishna with Adhyatma is the aggregate of individual self seen in different forms whom the Lord has called His para prakriti. The Lord, by giving the word akhila with karma, means all the virtuous and spiritual actions whose fruits leads the self to numerous wombs and numerous worlds. But the term Krishna or akhila has not been used with Brahma. It means that Brahma is not numerous, but is only one. In the Gita, the Lord has mentioned twofold path to achieve equanimity, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. The two paths are worldly, Lokesmin Vividha Nishta, Gita chapter 3 verse 3. But Bhakti Yoga is Alokik Nishta, transcendental path. The reason is that in Karma Yoga, there is predominance of Shara, world, and in Jnana Yoga, there is predominance of Akshara, soul. Shar and Akshar, both are in the world. Therefore, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, both are worldly paths. But in Bhakti Yoga, there is predominance of God, who transcends the perishable, Shara, and is superior to the imperishable, Akshara. Gita chapter 15 verse 17 and 18. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga is unworldly path. In the entire form of God, there is mention of Brahma, Adhyatma and Karma. In them, there is mention of worldly path, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. And in Adi Bhuta, Adi Deva and Adi Yajna, there is mention of the unworldly path, transcendental path, Bhakti Yoga. Jnan, knowledge, is worldly. Nahi Jnanim Sadrisam Pavitra Miha Vidyate. Gita chapter 4 verse 38. And Vijnana is unworldly, transcendental. The worldly and the transcendental, both are the manifestation of Samagra, full form of God, Vasudeva Sarvam. In the term Loka, both insentient and sentient are included. The term Loka cannot denote either only insentient or only sentient. Therefore, in Laukika, both insentient and sentient are included, but in Alaukik, only sentient is included, because Alaukika is ever divine. But in the entire form, Samagra, Laukika, worldly, and Alaukika, unworldly, both are included. Here a point needs special attention that Brahma, who is attributeless and formless, is within the entire form of God. Generally, people believe that within attributeless and formless Brahma, there is God endowed with attributes. They hold that the Brahma is free from Maya and God is not free from Maya. In fact, this assumption is neither in accordance with the ordinance of the scriptures, nor is reasonable, because when in Brahma there is no illusion, Maya, then how can God with Maya be within Brahma? How is there Maya in Brahma? But in the Gita, the Lord declares, in a fragment of my entire form, there is Brahma, because I am the support of Brahma. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Gita, chapter 14, verse 27. And this universe is pervaded by me in my unmanifest form. Maya tadmidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Gita, chapter 9, verse 4. By these utterances, the Lord means to say, I am not a fragment of Brahma, but Brahma is a part of me. Therefore, if we reflect upon it in an impartial manner, it is evident that in the Gita there is not predominance of Brahma, but there is predominance of God. The entire form of Gita is complete, within which God with attributes as well as attributeless, God with form and also formless are included. In fact, the entire form can be of God endowed with attributes only, because within the word Saguna, God endowed with attributes, Nirgunan, attributeless, the absolute, can be included. But within the word Nirguna, Saguna cannot be included. The reason is that in Saguna there is no negation of Nirguna, but in Nirguna there is negation of Gunas. Therefore, in Nirguna the word Samagra cannot be used. So here with Adhyatma and Karma, the words Kritsna and Akhila have been used respectively, but no such word has been used with Brahma. Therefore, there is entirety, fullness in God endowed with attributes, rather than in attributeless Brahma. Question: how are Brahma, Adhyatma and Karma all three Laukika, worldly? Swamiji: the Lord has called Brahma Akshara, imperishable. Aksharam para Brahma. Aksharam Brahma paramam. Gita, chapter 8, verse 3. And he is called the soul Akshara, Dvavimau Purusho Loke, Sharakshara Evacha. Gita, chapter 15, verse 16. The soul and Brahma both are one. Ayamatma Brahma. Mandukya Upanishad. The soul, which by having connection with Prakriti, body, is called Jiva, Adhyatma, embodied soul. The same by having no connection with Prakriti is Brahma. Therefore, according to Gita, as Jiva is in the world, so is Brahma in the world. That is, Brahma is attained by the worldly paths, karma and jnana yoga. Adhyatma, that is, the soul has sustained the world. Yayedam dharyate jagat. Gita, chapter 7, verse 5. The soul has no independent existence of its own. Therefore, the soul, by being attached to the world, has become jagat, worldly. Gita, chapter 7, verse 13. Being in the world, the soul is also lokik, worldly. Mame vansho jiva loke. Gita, chapter 15, verse 7. Dvavimau purushau loke sharakshara chara evacha. Gita, chapter 15, verse 16. Actions are performed in two ways, with an interested motive and in a disinterested motive. These two types of actions being in the world are Laukik. Question. How are Adibhuta, Adideva and Adiyagya, these three unworldly, transcendental? Adibhuta, that is the entire world consisting of the five subtle elements, being the manifestation of God, is unworldly. Amritam chaiva mrityuscha sadasachaham Arjuna. Gita, chapter 9, verse 19. I am immortality as well as death. I am also being and non-being both. The cosmic form which Lord Krishna reveals to Arjun was also divine and unworldly. The Lord revealed his divine cosmic form in a part of his divine body. Therefore, the world consisting of the five subtle elements, being the cosmic form of God, is also unworldly, transcendental. The Lord has also called his vibhutis, divine glories, as divine, that is, unworldly. But a person endowed with soul, out of ignorance with his intellect, because of attachment and aversion, perceives this jagata, this world, as laukika, mundane matter. Therefore, when ignorance is wiped out, inertness does not persist, only divinity remains. Adideva, that is Brahma, etc., all deities are unworldly. Adiyagya, that is indwelling God in spite of lodging in the hearts of all, because of remaining untainted, is unworldly, transcendental. In the expression, Sadhi Bhutadhi Daivam Mam Sadhi Yagyam, the Lord mentions, he who knows me with Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva and Adi Yagna. It proves that as these three are with God, so they are transcendental, otherwise they are worldly. So long as there is no connection with God, all is worldly. When there is a connection with God, all becomes unworldly. Therefore, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga are worldly paths, as in them, a striver's effort is important, while Bhakti Yoga is the transcendental path, as in it, there is predominance of refuge in God. In fact, there is no entity which is worldly. The real entity is only transcendental. But from the viewpoint of a striver, the discrimination between the worldly and the unworldly or transcendental has been mentioned. It means that this distinction between the worldly and the transcendental persists out of ignorance because of attachment and aversion. If attachment and aversion are renounced, all is transcendental, divine. Spiritual and divine. Vasudeva Sarvam. The reason is that the mundane has no independent existence. It is because of attachment and aversion that the mundane seems to exist and is valued. It is because of attachment and aversion that a man has made the world, which is the manifestation of God, mundane, and he himself has also become mundane. The purpose of describing knowledge with Vijnana, that is the entire form of God, is that non-self, self, the real, unreal, para, apara, kshetra, kshetragya, whatever persists is only God's manifestation. Therefore, the Lord here, at the beginning and end of the description of his entire form, has used the term mama, me, which denotes his entire form. Mam Ashritya. Gita, chapter 7, verse 29. And Mam Te Vidu, chapter 7, verse 30. The Lord has declared that the nature of actions is mysterious. A devotee knows these two also. It means that he knows actions and also the discipline of action. Karma Yoga. A Karma Yogi knows only Karma Yoga. A Jnan Yogi knows only Jnan Yoga, but a devotee, by God's grace, knows both Karma Yoga and Jnan Yoga. The idea expressed in the first verse of this chapter, by the expression, Yogam Yunjanmadashraya has been expressed here by the expression Mam Ashritya Yatantiye, and the idea expressed by the expression Maya Sakta Manaha has been expressed here by the expression Yukta Chetasaha. It means the devotee who takes shelter in me attains the aim which is attained by Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. That is, they know Brahma, who is the fruit, aim of these two disciplines. They Brahma Tad Vidu, and they also know God in full. Mam Te Viduhu. In the expression Prayana Kalepi, the term Api means that those devotees know God before the hour of death and also at the hour of death. That is, their knowledge never disappears. Such devotees become Yukta Cheta, steadfast in mind. That is, their mind has no independent existence. It gets identified with God. Only God remains. Being one, having eternal union with God, they are neither separated from God, nor is God separated from them. Such devotees, at the time of death, even if some thought comes to their mind, they don't meet the fate of a yoga prasht, he who deviates from yoga, but attain God. Prayana kale picha mam, devidur yukta chetasaha. The reason is that from the viewpoint of those devotees, there is nothing else besides God. Then where will their mind wander besides God? Why will it wander? How will it wander? If he thinks of anything, he will think of God only. Then how will this mind deviate? And without deviation of the mind, how will he fall from yoga? The reason is that in the discipline dependent on instrument, karan, sapesh, when the mind deviates from yoga, then there is fall from yoga. But he who beholds God everywhere has this eternal union with God. Some devotees want only emancipation, salvation, chara marana mokshaya, and some devotees want love, devotion. Mam te vidur yukta chetasaha. The devotees who want salvation, they know karma yoga and jnana yoga, brahma, adhyatma and karma. But the devotees who want love, they themselves know God in full. Mam viduhu. God confers his devout devotees with karma yoga, buddhi yoga and jnana yoga, both. Gita, chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. Bondage in the form of old age and death, and also salvation, both are worldly, but love, devotion, is unworldly. Therefore, devotion as spiritual discipline is worldly, but the aim being transcendental. That devotion is included in transcendental sadhya bhakti, devotion as an end. Bhaktya sanjayate bhaktya. Srimad Bhagavat. Om Tatsavidhi Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyaya Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjun Samvade Jnana Vijnana Yogo Nama Saptamo Adhyayah. Thus, starting with Om Tat Sat, the names of the Lord in the Upanishads of the Bhagavad Gita, the yoga and the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, this is the seventh designated discourse, the yoga of knowledge and realization. In this chapter, there is description of knowledge and realization. The belief that the Lord is the root of the entire universe's knowledge, while realization is that in the entire universe, there's nothing besides the Lord. By knowledge and realization, a devotee comes to know his real and eternal affinity for God. That is, I am God's and God is mine. Therefore, this chapter is designated the Yoga of Knowledge and Realization. End of chapter 7. End of chapter 7. For more video, please visit www.swamiramsukhdasji.net. Narayan, Narayan.